Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Well, this doesn't happen terribly often, but new this week, updated CPR guidelines tackled choking response, opioid-related emergencies, and a revised chain of survival. Some interesting information, and this was unexpected, according to our friends from the American Heart Association. Wanted to welcome back to the studio Dr. Chris Ford, emergency medicine physician for Ascension. Dr. Ford, welcome back.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me.
Did you know this was coming?
None of us knew, but we found out on Wednesday, so it's good. A lot of the changes here are right on, and you know, the goal is to help everyday people, you know, tackle those life-saving steps that when seconds count.
I kind of feel like this one item reflects a troubling trend, but it's needed. And I'm glad that the American Heart Association is making tweaks. The guidelines provide a new algorithm for treating individuals with suspected opioid overdose. Yeah. What do people need to know now?
Yeah, so, you know, it goes with the trend, like you're saying, you know, opioid abuse, substance abuse disorder, we're seeing it more and more in patients. And fortunately, here in the city of Milwaukee and the county, we're seeing a reduction in the amount of deaths in the last several years by about 30%. And a lot of that has to do with measurements like this, right? Taking measures to make Narcan available in the communities, make sure people know what an opioid overdose looks like. And so this algorithm really reflects that. And so what we take a look is, you know, if you have someone who has slow breathing, is unresponsive, blue lips, things like that, then this guideline really walks you through how to use that naloxone and when to use it, because, you know, the risks, you know, are way less than the benefits of administering that Narcan in the moment.
I am out of date. Like, I look at this and I say, whoa, that what I was taught to do way back when, I think it was part of college, mm-hmm. is no longer permissible. I mean, you don't want to be pushing on the chest that hard on a young one. I remember doing finger sweep, tilt the head, all that exactly. kind of stuff. Guidelines change for a reason. What is the reason behind some of the changes made with regard to choking infants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, with regards to choking infants, we wanted to make sure that we gelled with the recommendations from the American Association of Pediatrics. So a lot of these algorithms go hand in hand with their algorithm, and they've adopted those as well with the American Heart Association. And so ultimately, we wanted to standardize it between age groups. And so what we're seeing is we're alternating between back blows and abdominal thrusts in children, but in infants, we're just doing those back blows, right? And so a lot of that has to do with that evidence-based data that we were able to, you know, acquire since 2020 when those guidelines were last changed. And we're seeing improvement in, you know, mortality rates as well as morbidity rates, meaning, you know, kids aren't as sick if you're doing these maneuvers and getting them to a higher level of care.
I've heard a couple of stories lately about people choking. One, it was a mother who was trying to help her son who was choking. And it's an incredibly scary situation. Luckily, it all worked out. My husband, probably about 8 months ago, all of a sudden in the kitchen, was like choking. And at first I'm like, are you okay? And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden I'm like, gosh, I don't think he's okay. And he's a big guy and I'm kind of small. So all of a sudden I thought, gosh, if there was a really bad situation, like, could I make this work? I bring this up because there are right now, and I just went on during the commercial break, went on to Amazon, mm-hmm. and you can go and you can find these anti-choking devices
De-choker.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I almost was thinking after the experience that we had in the kitchen that, gosh, maybe I should get one of these. And I know that the mother who had the experience with her son bought one as well. But I do see here from the American Heart Association that the use of anti-choking devices is not supported by the guidelines at this time. Can you give us some knowledge into that?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with the fact that some of these devices are novel devices, right? So these are devices that have been shown sometimes in lab studies to have worked, you know, on test dummies, things of that nature, but they haven't really been rigorously, you know, interpreted on the grand scheme, right? So we're not able to reproduce it in some of those long-term studies, and those studies haven't been done yet, right? And so ultimately what we have to do is, you know, with this era of falling back on evidence-based medicine, we're going to have to go with what we know. And these methods and these techniques that we use, we know work in adults and in pediatric patients. And so we usually will tell people to reach for that first, reach for those, you know, those known techniques versus to do something novel that they may not have had experience with using in the first place or in the moment or reading, you know, watching a YouTube video or something like that to
sure.
see how it works.
Dr. Chris Ford joining us here in studio on Wisconsin's Midday News. There was a legislation discussed earlier this week, Dr. Ford, that would require Wisconsin public schools to have a cardiac emergency response plan for school-related events, right? Could be during the school day, athletic competition, recitals, really anything tied to that school. This is public schools. That includes CPR training, AED installation. You talked about every second is important when you have this kind of situation present itself to you. How critical is something like this? I know it's not to get in the weeds of politics, but it's an idea that could help potentially save a life, and they're trying to get it in at the schools.
Yeah. So every second counts, right? So as an emergency physician, I can tell you those seconds and minutes all add up, and that really will be the determination between, you know, an outcome that's beneficial for the patient and an adverse outcome. What we've seen, especially with this legislation, as well as prior legislation that aims to target the same thing in the instance of the albuterol inhalers that were placed in schools that, you know, nurses can reach for and administer to kids who they think are having an asthma attack, it's more so to reduce that time frame between, you know, the kid having that exacerbation or kid having that cardiac arrest and, you know, doing something, putting hands on the chest, providing them a method that they can breathe, right? And so it all goes to, these are things that we're doing in the seconds when seconds and minutes count. And it's something that communities get behind because, you know, we're doing this youth empowerment, we're doing this community empowerment to say, you know, you can take those measures and save a life in that moment.
Something else I took note of is reverting to a single chain of survival for all forms of cardiac arrest. So whether we're talking about an adult or a kid in or out of the hospital. And I kind of liked this because I feel like it just makes it easier for people, easier for people to remember, easier for people to do. What is that updated chain of survival?
Yeah. And so more so, again, this is just trying to make sure people get hands on the chest as soon as possible, make sure they're activating that chain as soon as possible. So initially, it's just that recognition that something is going on, that this patient could be coding, this patient could have a heart condition. We're recommending high quality CPR, looking for someone to get that defibrillator if it's available in that area, and then pass that measurement. You know, once EMS gets there, you know, then we can kick into that advanced resuscitation where they can administer medications, they can do an advanced airway, things of that nature, and then it goes into post cardiac arrest techniques as well as that recovery process afterwards. But it's more so putting the people in the community at the forefront of this, saying that if you start these measurements too, you're on the team, right? We're all working together to make sure that we have a good outcome.
CPR training pretty easy to find to get that certification?
Pretty easy to find. You know, one of the measurements that the American Heart Association is doing now is to do that media campaign, right? So if you go online, you know, wherever you guys get your media, right? If you go on social media, there's an AHA page, right? If you go on the 620 website, I'm sure there'll probably be one too, right? But there, if you look around, you know, they're often at gyms, they're often at, you know, community centers, churches, things of that nature. The American Heart Association has made it very clear in these updates that they want to make sure that they do that outreach so that it's made more available for people.
Great information. Dr. Chris Ford joining us here in studio, emergency medicine physician at Ascension Hospital. We appreciate it, Dr. Ford.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
Absolutely.